It's the first Indigo Girls album for their new label, Hollywood Records, and they join us today for a session live on stage at World Cafe Live. We'll talk with Amy and Emily in just a bit. But first up, here is a performance of Pendulum Swinger, one of Emily Salyer's tunes from the new album, Despite Our Differences. That's the song that begins the new album. It's called Pendulum Swinger, and it proposes a little shift in orientation and a probably well-welcome one by people everywhere, I would think. A good one. I'm listening to that song, and I'm thinking of John Mayer's got a new song about waiting for the world to change. There's a whole slew of political songs right now, and it's an area that you two have been involved in forever. What's going on now? Why is everybody else more comfortable with this now?
There's always been protest music, hasn't there? But
sure.
I think it's just come to the forefront now. The press has picked up on it. It's being talked about a lot more. But I think also just basically people are freaked out at how bad things have gotten and the repercussions of our administration and the lack of diplomacy. I mean, this is a very complex world. And you just can't blast your way through it without diplomacy and without considering other people's ways of life. And so I think some of this protest music is just strictly a response to that. That's something that's permeating our culture right now.
Now, that was one of Emily's songs, and the first song we've been playing a bunch off of this is one called Little Perennials. And anything we should know about this one?
It's just a simple little song about, like, your roots and your family and your connections and your home, sort of. Yeah.
Little Perennials is another new one from the New Indigo Girls album, their first for a new record company. And is it right that this is the first time I know you went out to California to work with Mitchell Froom. Is it the first time you recorded away from home?
No. We actually worked out there a long time ago on our first couple records, but it had been a while since we had left. We had worked in California in our first couple, and then we worked in Nashville a bit, and Austin, Texas, and New York, and up in Woodstock. But this is... We had started working in Atlanta more, so Mitchell has a great studio in backyard of his house, basically. It's just a little room, and it's amazing, so it was a really good experience.
Well, people may not know that this is it's your 10th studio album, and 20 years since you released the first album, is that what it was?
I think, the first Epic record was 89.
Right.
And the first... I think we did like a little EP in 85, no, a single in 85, an EP in 86, and then full length in 87.
I can think of very few relationships in my life that go back that far. How has your working relationship kind of changed? I mean, you're not jumping in the back of the van quite as much as you were.
No. I mean, when we started out, we were in high school and just playing cover songs and playing at the local bar with like fake IDs, you know. And but eventually, we did get our parents' permission. Remember, we had to we had to get our mom and dad. My mom and dad had to go down to this bar and tell them it was okay for us to be there. And but I guess at first it just changes, you know. We constantly go back and forth between what we're emphasizing between each other in our partnership, you know, whether it's like Emily really taught me how to sing harmony, and I really paid attention to the business stuff more at first, and now it's, you know, more equally shared in some of those ways. We will trade off on website stuff for a long time. I'll be doing the letters, and then Emily will take up and start doing stuff, and we just kind of, I don't know, you know, it's just we give each other a lot of space, and we just trade off a little bit and do our own thing away from each other as well.
How about bringing songs to each other? Are you more forthright in saying, I like that, I don't like that, that kind of thing? Or have you always been like that?
Well, I pretty much like everything that Amy writes, and we sort of know when we're going to be making a studio record, and we sort of write all the time. So during the course of a year, year and a half, or whatever, sound check, if we're messing around with song ideas, we sort of we hear them first like that. But then when they're done and we're getting ready to arrange them, we bring them to each other, you know, and play them for each other, and then we start brainstorming. And I've always felt that Amy makes my songs better in the Indigo collaboration, where we're choosing instruments and harmonies and arrangements. Then I know it's true, because if I ever play a song solo without Amy's parts, it really seems empty to me. Mm-hmm. So and it's not like there's extra songs, like tons of extra songs, when it comes time to make a record. It used to be more so that way, but right. Pretty much we write the group of songs, and those are the ones that go on the record.
Well, the vocal arrangements on this album, as always, are just really stellar, and they're just beautiful. There's one of yours I really love called you were talking about doing, called Lay My Head Down, which I think a lot of us, one of the things that you do, and you've actually mentioned, I've seen Amy, you actually mentioned this. So one of the things you want to do is to make people who listen to your music kind of feel like it's their song. It's about them. And this song is one of those. If you've ever been to a party and you've been in this situation, I think, was this a real party that this came from? Or
it
was
a party in my mind.
Yeah. Well, I tell you, it probably fits for a lot of people. Good song.
Yeah. It's kind of a world-weary song, world-weary party song.
So long ago that we decided. and talked in your car. Your things were all packed. The place you were headed, not really that far. Years later, I think. Because you're the only solid thing in this room. A room full of mischance, slow dance, cold fade, heartache. I showed up for a party, saw my life story for you. And I wanna lay my head down on you.
Thanks.
Good stuff. Indigo Girls are playing live for us today on the cafe. And you should introduce who's on stage here today.
Oh, yeah. Well, this is the band that played with us for our record, for Despite Our Differences. And a couple of women we've been playing with for a long time. We met them back when they were touring with Sinead O'Connor on Lilith Fair. And so we have on bass and vocals Claire Kinney, and on keyboard, and she plays an accordion and percussion and sings and plays whistle in our band, Carol Isaacs. And then the newest member, who was a gift from Mitchell Froom to the Indigo Girls, is our drummer, Matt Chamberlain.
And if you check your credits, yeah, these are the folks that played on Despite Our Differences. Amy, I wanted to talk about one of the songs. I don't know if you're going to be able to do it today, but called Rock and Roll Heaven's Gate that's on here. It's the one that Pink helps out on. And it seems to kind of be a comment, at least partially, about, you know, the music business, et cetera. And I'm curious, when I saw you guys last, you had done your last album for Epic, and you were, and I don't know if you were free at that point, you knew you were going to go on to Hollywood or whatever, but there's a bit of a comment about that, about DJs saying, oh, you're free now. And in the music business, it's changed so absolutely dramatically since you all started. And I was curious as to whether you thought of going independent at that point, or how your business life is structured.
Well, for me, I mean, that song was definitely a comment about, I had some close friends in a couple of different bands that had broken up in the face of one of them sort of struggling on a small label, actually, and one of them struggling on a really big label. And so it happens in both places, you know. And it just, it was kind of a song saying, just keep going in whatever way that you can, because there's a lot of hurdles, and the industry is certainly just very profit-driven and very hard to sort of survive in right now. And it feels like you're swimming upstream all the time, especially if you're political and queer, you know, and older, which is also an issue. But I think that I was commenting on also the fact that no matter who you are, you sort of go through cycles of being a trend and a backlash kind of over. It just happens as a musician. If you're going to do it for a long time, that's what happens. And that people just, they just sort of say, well, you know, you're free. You're really, at this point, there's no prejudices and there's no oppressions and there's no this and there's no that. And you're really free to be whatever you want to be. But you're still in a market-driven economy. And there's still a certain person in charge, you know. So it was just kind of a comment. I mean, that's sort of deep, but
yeah,
it's really supposed to be just like a rah-rah, you know, go, you know, kind of song.
What's been the secret, though, for you guys? I mean, it's been pretty amazing that you've had major label deals all along. You've never seemed to have to compromise.
Well, we have amazing fans that even when we were a bar band, our fans were very loyal. I think that they take the music into their lives and carry it with them, and it makes them just, I guess, keep being a part of us. And, you know, we've learned a long time ago how to tour without driving ourselves insane, and we live very independent lives from each other and have different projects. And we write our songs separately. We have different voices, different sensibilities. It's truly our differences that have made us work. It's a complete yin-yang thing. And I think we have trust in the music. It's always come from a very pure place. So we haven't had to, like, try to chase any trends. We've never really had to count on radio that much. We just tour a lot. We're still kind of a bar band at heart. And we've kept it together, just, I think, through mutual respect and separation.
I think we got time for one more. What do you want to finish up with?
This is a song called I Believe in Love. It's the first song I ever wrote on a ukulele.
Try to rework all of this, each to her rendition, painting ourselves in a corner, lost for ideas, blind to fishing for a compliment or kindness, just to bring us into view. You could not interpret me, I could not interpret you. I remember that cold morning when the trees were black with birds. Tried to make out some
y'all.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thanks.
I Believe in Love, the Indigo Girls, leading the comeback for the ukulele, which is indeed. We've got whole parts on our website where a guy is totally into ukulele, and he's going to love this.
It's a subculture for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. A subculture. Thanks again for playing live. Thanks to the Indigo Girls, our guests here in the World Cafe.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks, XPN. Appreciate it.
Thank you.